Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics, so that teens, college students, millennials, growing families, and others would have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. You can find Money Smarts for You, The Basics, on Amazon. All over the country, there is the potential for natural disasters, fires, floods, earthquakes, tornadoes, avalanches, rock slides, and hurricanes are a few of the disasters that claim lives and property on Earth. In addition, although it has been years since a terrorist attack on our soil, there have been chemical plant explosions, refinery fires, and other man-made catastrophes that have required a prepared response. For you to be able to shelter in place, evacuate, and survive personally and financially in the event of a natural disaster, here are 7 steps for you to take to be optimally prepared for these unexpected events. 1. Make a plan. If you have to evacuate your home, where would you go? If sheltering in place is mandated as it was when New York authorities were searching for escaped convicts, do you know what to do or how you would handle that requirement? Before the unexpected happens, now is the time to come up with a plan. If you live on the Gulf Coast where hurricanes and refinery fires might be issues you have to deal with, then make a plan for sheltering in place as well as evacuation. When my Aunt Susie lived in New Orleans, she had an evacuation plan to come to San Antonio with her children to stay with my grandmother. It only happened a few times. But she loaded up the car with the kids, the family pets, legal documents she needed, and her most valuable or sentimental possessions, and drove the long trip to the center of the state of Texas. My grandmother knew to expect her when a big hurricane was heading towards New Orleans. When Hurricane Ike came through Galveston and Houston, my daughters and 8 of their college student friends came to stay with us in San Antonio, bringing their computers, clothes, and pets to our home. We had just left Port Aransas, where we'd gone to retrieve a Jeep and other items we kept in a condo there, not knowing which way the hurricane was going to hit. They called us while we were on the road back to let us know they were on the way to San Antonio. To this day, that is our plan for our family, for them to evacuate to San Antonio if they must leave Houston. In your plan, come up with a destination. Have a list of phone numbers of all your family who will be traveling with you. And don't rely on your telephone to be functioning. Make sure you have a written list. Make sure you also have the numbers of family or friends where you're headed and that you know several routes out of your location to the destination. Even though electronic maps and nav systems can be helpful, having a real paper map that includes all the farm to market and small little side roads can give you alternatives to a clogged freeway where the traffic is moving at 10 miles per hour. During the Hurricane Ike evacuation, one of the things that was so interesting to me was the comments that our daughters made about the people fighting at gas stations along the freeway. People's tempers were frayed. They'd been sitting in, you know, bumper-to-bumper traffic. The freeway, there was no place to go. And when they would get off to get gas, frequently the lines were quite long. So remember, too, that when you're on the main thoroughfare, there are things you're going to encounter that you're not necessarily used to seeing. So try to keep your blood sugar level up with snacks in the car, and remember that other people may not be quite so friendly when they get to the gas station or the food stop or even trying to get off the freeway to find another route. If you do not have a family member's or friend's home to escape to, then research motels and hotels ahead of time to make sure you can bring your pets, if you have them, and have several options to contact to make reservations. You may want to book at a chain that offers you free breakfast with your room and has suite arrangements so your family can stay together and have kitchen facilities to prepare simple meals. Make a list of all the things you want to take with you and where you normally keep it in your home. After you do this, stage an emergency drill to find out how long it takes you to assemble these items. Authorities may only give you 20 to 30 minutes to get things together to leave your home, so getting organized beforehand is important. Sheltering in place requires more home preparation, like stocking your pantry effectively, which I'll cover later in this podcast. 2, get your financial house in order. If you go into a disaster with a high level of credit card debt and no savings, it will be difficult for you to survive an extended stay away from home that lasts 2 weeks or more. One reason I emphasize saving a small nest egg of $1,000 first is so you can have some emergency money if you need it. Saving 6 to 9 months of expenses is also important because if you have to evacuate and stay away from your destroyed home and community for several months, you will have to have something to live on while you either relocate or look for a new job. In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, thousands of individuals displaced from their homes, their jobs, and their assets in New Orleans maxed out their credit cards, weren't able to access their bank accounts, didn't have paychecks, and in many cases were reduced to begging because they were not financially prepared for such an emergency. Fortunately, a lot of people, you know, had their hearts in the right places and would help people. But keep in mind that may not always be the case, especially if there are a tremendous number of people who are suffering a catastrophe. Catastrophes and disasters like this are another reason to live within your means and pay off credit cards in full each month. If you have to live in a motel for 3 to 4 weeks, your card will be ready for you to use it when you need it. If your home is a total loss, it could be months before your insurance company will pay your claim, and most likely it will take even longer for you to find another permanent place to live. If the major employers in your community are also affected, then you may find yourself looking for a new job, delaying a smooth transition even more. 3, have a stash of cash. If you had to live away from home for 2 weeks, how much would you be spending for you and your family? Does food cost you $30 a day per person or more? Gasoline for a tank is $30 to $50, depending on how far you have to drive and what kind of car you drive. If you're a family of four, will that mean that you need $170 per day, not including the cost of a place to stay? Will you need anywhere from $300 to $500 per day, totaling about $2,100 to $3,500 per week away from home, including living quarters? Obviously, there are shelters that are set up at many evacuation location spots, and you can certainly stay there, and they will accommodate you, usually free of charge. But if you aren't able to do that or can't get into a shelter or there isn't one that's set up, you need to be prepared. If you want to use credit cards and you have good credit and the ability to pay them off in full after extended use, then that may work for you. However, sometimes in emergencies, the credit card systems don't work the way they're supposed to work. If the electricity is out or the cash registers don't work or the banking system has been hacked, you may find that cash may be the only means available to you to pay for food, gasoline, or a place to stay. Consider having a reserve of cash in the amount of $1,000 to $5,000 hidden in a safe place where you can find it if you need it. 4, assemble your identity and property documents. Usually you carry your driver's license with you or some form of identity card. Maybe you have a passport too. If not, then you want to make sure you have a copy of your birth certificate in among your important papers that should fit in a Ziploc bag or plastic box to put in your bag or car to go along with you when you evacuate your house. Usually you will need a certified copy of your birth certificate, which you can get from the Bureau of Vital Statistics in your hometown where you were born. The reason to put things in a plastic bag or plastic box is because if it's raining or if there's flooding, you're hopefully protecting those documents from turning into a soggy mess. Along with your ID, you'll want a copy of any deeds for property that you own, a recent utility bill for your home, as well as the most recent tax bill or appraisal notice for your home. These documents will provide proof of your residency and most likely be required for readmission to your home area if you have to evacuate and there is destruction of property. Some coastal communities issue residence cards, that specify that you are a resident and have the right to return to that community to survey damage or come to retrieve any salvageable items from your home. You may want to inquire at your city hall about whether such identity documents are issued by that municipality. A copy of bank statements and security statements issued within the last 3 months should be included in your paperwork. Although you can retrieve most statements from the cloud or your bank or investment company website, if there is some cyber attack on these systems, you may want to have a fairly recent copy that shows your account number and valuation in the event you need to access those assets during this emergency or in the event your home is completely destroyed. You'll also want either copies of your insurance policies for your home and car, as well as health and life policies too, or at least the policy numbers and the contact information for your agent. Hopefully you have an insurance card, and that should be sufficient. You want to be able to contact your insurer to facilitate any claims you may have to make. If you have a safety deposit box, then make sure you take the keys with you for those boxes and the most recent statement as well that proves that you indeed are the owner of that, the renter of that box. If you have an inventory of your boxes, then you may wish to include that with your paperwork. Having these with you will facilitate your ability to make insurance claims, manage your assets during an emergency, and access any funds you need during this stressful time. If you have a laptop computer, you will want it with you to facilitate your doing business, assuming there's electrical power and a functioning internet. Make sure you charge it fully before you pack it up to take it with you. Who knows when you'll be able to charge it again? During Hurricane Ike, a friend of my daughter's chose not to evacuate. When the power went out, her cell phone was not fully charged, nor was her computer. All the internet was down, but she was still able to make phone calls, although it used a great deal of battery to do so. But she discovered that she used even less battery when she texted. At one point, she went out to her car during the eye of the storm to charge her phone because that was the only source of power she had at the time. Make sure all your essential electronics are charged and turn off any apps that use battery life. 5, stock your pantry. Your grandmother might have stocked the pantry with her homemade jams and canned veggies, but you have a lot more options to choose from to survive an emergency. In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, people who were stranded in their homes due to the rising waters suffered from dehydration even though they had water to drink. Part of the reason for that was because the power was out, so there were no fans to move the air around or air conditioners or dehumidifiers, so the intense heat was a big part of the problem. Besides keeping a supply of bottled or canned water in your pantry, you may want to add juices like V8 juice that supply nutrition, salt, and liquid for your body. In addition, protein shakes that provide vitamins, fiber, and protein also include liquid nutrition for you. Energy bars that offer vitamins, fiber, protein, and other electrolytes can easily store in your pantry and be placed in your car for evacuation. Jerky and dried fruit, as well as nuts, can add variety to the food choices available to you. You want to have on hand about 1,000 to 1,500 calories per day per person to maintain your alertness and strength. Yes, you will lose weight, but you will escape weakness. These types of food offer you a more compact source of nutrition that you can survive on for several weeks if you have enough supply. Add to that a multivitamin and water, and you will hopefully be able to climb on top of your house and be strong enough to climb a ladder into a helicopter that's rescuing you. In most emergencies, the power goes out, so you want to have something to eat that is palatable without being cooked. Even though you can purchase cans of Sterno or use a camping stove, at some point you may run out of fuel. So these bars and shakes may be a good idea for you to use for your emergency rations. Some Army surplus and camping stores also sell meals ready to eat if you demand a more traditional meal replacement. In addition to stocking your pantry for yourself and your family members, remember your pets. Keep a month's supply of dog and cat food at home and make sure you have enough water for them too. Additionally, you will want to have flashlights in every room of your home, extra batteries, duct tape, and extra garbage bags. If there is a chemical emergency, sealing your doors and windows with tape to minimize seepage from the outside world will be important. May make your house a little stuffy, but this is what they say that duct tape and garbage bags are for. You may not be able to leave the house to dispose of trash, so extra bags will be important for waste disposal. Water filtration powder or tablets should be added to your pantry as well, or you can use simple plain old bleach like Clorox or Purex. Make sure there are no additional scents added to the bleach. The ratio is 2 drops of bleach to 1 liter or quart of water. Let it stand for 30 minutes. Make sure the water is not cloudy. If the water is cloudy, filter it first. You may want to have on hand the Brita filter pitchers with Brita filters so that you can filter out any cloudiness and then add the bleach to purify the water. Watch the expiration dates and donate these foods to your local food pantry before they expire and then restock your own pantry. You'll be taking care of yourself as well as others this way. 6, make a bug out bag or Bob. A friend of mine says she wants to take Bob with her everywhere, meaning her bug out bag as she calls it. Inside the bag, she has a list of her medications and why she takes them, a list of any health issues she has, as well as at least a month's supply of her prescriptions. In addition, she has a couple of change of clothes, extra socks, baby wipes for a quick sponge bath, toiletries like soap, shampoo, toothpaste, toothbrush, extra glasses, sunglasses, bug repellent, sunscreen, a hat, raincoat or poncho, a sweater or a coat, and a bathing suit. In addition, she has an extra pair of closed-toed shoes, like tennis shoes, and some flip-flops along with a towel. There is also a map and flashlight included and a set of playing cards, as well as a small notebook and pen and pencil. She also has a printed list of phone numbers and addresses of family and friends, so if she loses her cell phone or it stops functioning, she has contact information. Each member of your family, including your pets, should have a Bob to take with them. Your pets will need a pet carrier along with their leashes, food, water, and feeding containers. You may want to hold your dog or cat in the car, but if for some reason you had to exit your vehicle quickly, having a carrier will protect your animal from escaping and getting lost. Make sure you have a luggage tag or card on the carrier giving your name, address, and a cell number where you can be reached in case you and your pet get separated. Include your home number as well. A backpack or easy-to-carry bag with a shoulder strap would be best for Bob, so that each person can carry their own bag if walking becomes necessary. Otherwise, these should all fit into the back of your car, along with a box containing foodstuffs and water, your document box, and a valuables or keepsake box as well. 7, create a car evacuation emergency kit. If you're evacuating from your home, then you will want to make sure your car is in good shape and that you have a few extra items on hand in case you need it for a long trip. Although everyone should have a flashlight in their Bob, you will want a couple of flashlights in the car to use in the event you have to change a tire, add oil, or stop on the side of the road. Have a quart of the proper oil for your car, a gallon of coolant or antifreeze, at least one pair of gloves, a can of flat tire repair spray, a blanket, a tarp for changing tires in the rain, an ice scraper in case it's bad weather, and 2 to 3 gallons of water. Check to make sure that jack and tire tools are in the car and that you have the manual for the car you will be driving. You may also want to make a copy of the car registration form and make sure you have an insurance certificate in the car. In addition, make sure you have the phone chargers that work in your car for all the phones your family members use. A basic first aid kit that you can purchase at a drugstore or a grocery store is a good thing to have in your car during an evacuation. Since you may only have 20 to 30 minutes notice to pack your car and get out of your community, practice this drill at least once a year. Make sure all the boxes fit and all the Bob bags, as well as the pet carriers that you will need. If you know how everything fits in the car and these boxes with their contents are kept in a specific place, it will be a snap to load your car and evacuate quickly if needed. Keep in mind that emergencies are just that. They're an unexpected event that comes with its own set of rules. Most likely, there will be no set protocol for dealing with displaced persons in the area affected, so you will have to fend for yourself and do your best to work with a bureaucracy that evolves during the aftermath. Do your best to keep your temper and follow instructions mandated by law enforcement. Everyone is stressed during an emergency, so be as cool as you can to avoid provoking further problems for you and your family. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. please email me your questions or thoughts to Barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com. That's B-A-R-B-I-E at moneysmarts, the number 4, the letter U.com, and we will cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.